Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Scottie Pippen, according to a couple of reports, or I should say one main report, he is upset with the way he's being portrayed in The Last Dance. He doesn't, you know, he just doesn't think it's putting him in a good light. And I'll say this, I want to, you know, we'll get to your take first on Scottie, but this is the Michael Jordan documentary. This is the light. This is the NBA career of Michael Jordan. They could have, as easily as they called this The Last Dance, a more appropriate name probably would have been Come Fly With Me Too, or The Life and Times of Air Jordan, or something like that. But Rob, that's how it should be, I think. I mean, let's face it. Michael Jordan was the superstar. Scottie was great. Top 50, perennial all-star. We give him love. Hall of Famer. But it was about Michael Jordan, and that's what people want to see. So I don't have a problem. You know, people may have a problem. Do they think they dug deep enough in some areas? Maybe, maybe not. That's up for discussion. But I want to see it about Michael Jordan. I like that they gave Scottie his day. They gave Dennis his segment. They gave Phil his segment. Other than that, I want it to be about Michael Jordan, and everything comes out of him. And I think that's what we've gotten. So I got no issue with it. But I do have some thoughts about what Scottie is feeling. But I want to hear from you first on this.
I get the whole thing. And Michael's going to dictate how it airs and how it looks and the other stuff that goes involved. But I do understand where Scottie's coming from the standpoint that, to me, if you look at it, it is basically all you're seeing a lot more of Scottie's flaws than anybody else. And when you look at them, they're magnified. I mean, because you're getting one story about Michael and how great he is, and you're getting Scottie pouted about his money. But Michael, of course, didn't pout about his money because he was making Nike money and then and off the court money, and then he got his money at the end. So Scottie was a big baby about the bad contract he signed. Scottie waited till he couldn't get the ownership's attention, so he waited on the surgery because they wouldn't do right by him. So Scottie's a bad guy. Scottie had a migraine where he couldn't see, but Scottie was the bad guy because he didn't go in the game and play better, even though he couldn't see with a migraine headache. I've never had a migraine, knock on wood, Chris. And I don't know, have you had one?
No.
Have you ever talked to anybody? Honest, have you ever talked to anybody who's had one?
Kendall Gill.
They told me it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, Kendall Gill was on the Nets when I covered them in 98, 99. And I believe he used to get them occasionally. Not, you know, like a regular thing. But occasionally he got them. And I think he may have sat out a game here or there with one. But
all I'm saying from the people I've ever talked to, and I've never had one, so I'm not going by experience. That's why I asked you. They say it's the worst. And if somebody tells you that they can't see, it's hard for you to play basketball. But my point, and then what was the last one? Him not going in the game and Kukoc.
Yeah.
Right. So all I'm saying is, Chris, I don't think they're distorting the facts or whatever's going in. You know, like they've misrepresented what happened.
Right, right.
It's just that there's a lot of bad Scottie. That's all. And if I'm Scottie watching this, I don't feel good either. And then even when Scottie was given the opportunity to maybe make amends and go, yeah, you know, that was just wasn't the right thing. He could have taken control of it. I said the same thing about Michael and the Harvey Gantt, Chris, right? I said, Mike, right there, all he had to say was, now that I think about it and now that I'm more mature and whatever, that was a mistake.
Right.
That was a mistake. My mom asked me to do something. It was the right thing to do. Jesse Helms was a bad guy. I should have done it. That's all he had to say. All Scottie should have said was, man, I let my team down. I never should have done that. That's all. So I get what you're saying. I don't think that they're misrepresenting Scotty. All I'm saying is, if I'm Scotty watching at home, my God, is there a lot of bad Scotty in this film?
Well, because as you know this, Rob, whenever anything is condensed into, I mean, heck, this is 10 hours, but an hour, 2 hours, even 10 hours, it is going to seem like it's more than it was. You know what I mean? Because it's condensed, whether it's good or bad. You know, it. Remember the show Playmakers that used to be on ESPN when, and it was like a soap opera based around football. Do you remember that? It's about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
ESPN, and it was really good. Right. They took it off the air. The NFL wanted it off because it just, you know, was so much drama and so much negativity. It was very entertaining and the storylines were pretty true, but it was like all on one team in one season. You know, so it seemed like it was just, this is ridiculous. But, you know, that you have to, that stuff is spread out in real life. Here's what I say. First of all, I think I'm not sure Scotty looks the worst. Isaiah Thomas, we talked about him. Now, granted, he wasn't a Bulls teammate. He wasn't a Jordan teammate. I get it. But obviously, Isaiah's taking a beating. Scott Burrell. Now, I know Scott. I covered, you know him too. We had him on the show last week. I covered him when he played with the Nets. He's not soft. He's a tough player. He's obviously a really nice guy. But some people may come away from this thinking, yo, dude, you were soft. Like, you let this dude call you the H word, the B word. Stand up for yourself. So I think some people may be looking at Scott Burrell that way as well. And then I got to say this about Scotty. What did Steve Kerr say? Steve Kerr said, man, everybody loves Scotty. Scotty was the opposite of Mike. He was the one, whereas Mike was the bad cop, Scotty was the good cop. Like, he said it, we loved him. And so I do think there are some, and Jordan himself, he said, look, without Scotty, I wouldn't have been as successful. You know, he's praised Scotty's game. But I agree with you, Rob, overall, in that they're not fabricating. They're not putting things out of context. They're not, you know, putting two things together that don't fit to make it look like Scotty was, you know, did the wrong thing. Scotty did decide, whether you agree with him or not, he did decide to wait until the beginning of the season to have surgery and miss half the season. That's just a fact. Scotty did sit out, you know, and stay on the bench when the play was called for Kukoc.
I'm not disputing any of that. That's what I said.
No, I know. I'm just saying, no, I'm agreeing with you that this happened. Like, it's not like it didn't happen. It's not like it's an interpretation. These were the facts. If he wants to get mad with Jordan for saying he was selfish, then he can do that. But they just presented it. Let's be honest. Other than Jordan saying Scotty was being selfish, they just presented the facts, right?
Yeah, no. But it's not that. It's that here's all these people watching it. It's Michael Jordan's stock is going up. Scottie Pippen now is looked upon. I'm just saying, if you're just watching this, Chris, and you don't know the context of Scottie Pippen, he comes off as a big baby who refused to go into a game, who was dumb at the time, right? His agents told him not to sign a deal. He signed it against their wish.
But let me just say, if you're
Scottie and I'm watching it now, I come across as a country bumpkin who didn't know what he was doing and was a big baby and in a game 7 sat at the Palace with an ice pack on his head in one of the biggest games of the year.
We've talked about that.
Even if it's all true, and it is.
Right.
I'm just saying how he looks in this thing.
I hear you. And I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to say two points I want to make. And I've never had a migraine, as I said, either. So I don't. I hear it is incredibly painful. But Michael Jordan, the flu game. Isaiah Thomas, the sprained ankle, 25 points in one quarter. You know what I mean? We've seen players.
But if somebody says they can't see.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm very careful about you, everybody has a different threshold of pain. You agree with that?
Yes.
So what?
But it did. You're right. And maybe his threshold was met, but some people are going to look at that as soft. Obviously, Jordan looked at it as
kind of soft. Don't you remember when Cutler was hurt and all these players from home were tweeting that he's the P word and all that? Yep. And he had surgery. Do you remember?
Right.
Like how bad it
was? Well, because they're looking at Phillip Rivers, who played with the torn
right.
ACL.
But everybody's different.
Right.
And it wasn't like Cutler didn't wind up having a major thing where he required surgery.
Right.
So
right.
for people to be able to just lash out or tell somebody what they should do, not knowing what their body, that's all. I've always stepped away from that because I think it's unfair. I really don't. Some people can play through the most unbelievable things, Chris, and some people, you tell me that I can't see because of a migraine headache. Could I run a court and play basketball if I'm telling you I can't see?
Well, I guarantee you, and I'm not saying this is right, but I guarantee you some of the players on that team, and very likely Jordan, were thinking, dude, you can see. Now, right or wrong, you know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree,
but I'm just saying,
Chris,
yeah. No, I hear you. Here's what I'll say, though. I'm not, like, my mother-in-law, I saw her Sunday. She said, she's watching this. She's not even a huge hoop fan, but she's into this. She's saying, you know what? I don't like Jordan anymore. I like Scotty. So she's, you know, some people That's may be looking at, they like Scotty. Like, Scotty is, you know, he was more likable. The teammates loved him. And, you know, and Jordan, obviously, a lot of people, Rob, we're going to get into this later, they're thinking Jordan's coming off like a bully. I talked to three players today. Well, talked to two, texted with one, who played against Jordan in the finals, who are in this 10-part documentary. None of them wanted to come, you know, go talk publicly about him. At the radio show, other interviews I'm doing, they didn't want to do it. And some of them are turned off by, you know, they think he's not giving anybody else any credit. Oh, you know what? None of the players you played against wasn't any good. Like, you know, like you just rolled over everybody. You did it by yourself. Like, there are guys feeling that way. And so you and I may, and I do agree with your overall premise that there are going to be more Michael Jordan fans, because I think a lot of people are going to look at him as the ultimate alpha.
Yes.
But
And they didn't know the context before.
Right, right. But some will think, man, this dude, yeah, he won, but my goodness.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Fab Five.
All right, I'm going to give you my five players that will make first team all NBA or should make first team all NBA. Now, my official vote, if we have it for the league, may be different because you have to have three front court players and two guards, and they may have some of these players slotted at a different position, but that's a hint. But here we go.
Number five.
At forward, one of the front court spots, Kawhi Leonard. Great season. I know he low managed and we don't like that, but still, the dude is incredible. Both ends of the floor, go-to shots, kills you in the mid-range, obviously great on defense, and has fit in seamlessly with the LA Clippers.
Number four.
Another front court spot, the big man in the group, Anthony Davis. What a year he has had with the Lakers. He leads the Lakers in rebounding, leads them in blocks, I believe. You know, he's balling. And he has had a great season next to LeBron James. And he deserves this nod.
Number three.
The MVP. That's right. He would have won the MVP going away, I might add. Great season defending his crown, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I messed up his name. Antetokounmpo.
Number
two. I used to say it so well, too. At one of the guard spots, what's he averaging? 36. I mean, this dude is fantastic. Most people don't like his game. I love his game because I understand how difficult it is when you're not incredibly athletic, relatively speaking, and you can just dribble, little shimmy here, little jab step here, little feint here, little head movement here, shoulder movement there, blow by a guy, create enough space, step back, and drain a three in his face. That, of course, is James Harden.
Number one.
All right. He played point. Don't get mad at me. He might be officially listed as a small forward, but we all know he ran the point this year. Of course, I'm talking about none other.
LeBron James.
That's right. LeBron James, the second greatest player to ever lace him up. That's my first five. First team All-NBA, LeBron, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's leave basketball for a spell and get to baseball, which, of course, isn't playing right now, as is no sport, but July 4th perhaps could be the start of this season. An 82-game season is what the owners are proposing, which is interesting. But the owners are also proposing that rather than pay the players a prorated amount of their contract, so, you know, instead of you get what your game, you know, you get your payment for each game, but rather than over 162 games, it'd be over 82 games. Rather than that, the owners are proposing a 50-50 split. So whatever the league brings in, without fans, of course, in the stands, the players get their share, their 50% share of that, and then split it up amongst them. Blake Snell, the ace pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, didn't like that, and he went on social media to voice his opposition.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half, on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying?
Rob, we started off the show and you said it. You were riled up. You're raring to go. So I think it's only appropriate that you start first.
I got one thing to say to Blake. Snell, no.
I like that.
What in the hell? Are you kidding me, Chris? He's entitled to his opinion. He could say whatever he wants. But sometimes you need to step back and understand what's going on in the country. I'm not talking about the split with the owners. He's talking about how hurt and downtrodden he's going to be because he has to take less. Hey, Mr. Snell, have you checked the newspaper or watched the news lately? Do you know how many people are out of work? How many people have been furloughed? How many people are taking less money? Even people who do radio shows and television shows, Chris, who have guaranteed contracts.
That's right.
We're taking less. Everybody's taking less. How dare you? How dare you rub the fans' face in it and say what? And then he's got the nerve to bring up taxes as if he's different from anybody else, Chris, who has to pay damn taxes. Snell, Blake, you should be ashamed of yourself. How dare you do this to people as a baseball player? If I had a Blake Snell jersey, I'd burn it. You think they burn LeBron James jerseys? I'd burn it right now, Chris, because he's out of reality. He's not a part of this society if he thinks he's going to be hurt because somehow, some way, they want to play some damn baseball games with no fans, no concessions, no parking, and he's supposed to get the same money he was supposed to get with full stands, full parking lots, and full concessions? How? It don't add up, Blake. What math are you doing? What world do you live in? I don't give a damn if you could throw a ball 100 miles an hour. I wish you would come up to bat and you were in the National League and I was a pitcher so I could throw at you. I can't believe that anybody during these times, Chris, when everybody has made the ultimate sacrifice, and he's talking about, my life, I have to go out there with a chair. People on the front lines wearing trash bags and fake makeshift mask to treat sick people, Chris, are working every day to try to save lives. You think they got a $1 million bonus for working in the ER rooms and the hospitals all over this country? No! They didn't get anything more. And then they got to go home to their families and expose their husbands and spouses and wives and children to the deadly disease. You couldn't be more tone deaf and more dumb to come out of your mouth and talk about your plight when the plight of millions of Americans is bigger than yours. I don't care what they pay you. You're still going to be good.
I could just sit here all segment. This is the first time I'm going to say this in the history of the Odd Couple. What, a year and a half, roughly? A little more than that, maybe. I could just sit here all segment and listen. Because you are right on the money, Rob Parker. I couldn't disagree with Chris, anything you said.
Chris, does this make sense to you? Seriously, even if you felt that way, to go out publicly and put that in the universe to people, the masses, Chris, who are giving up. And the same thing, we work in a business, people got contracts, people have all kinds of stuff, and you know what, executives are giving up their money, Chris, yep. People are going without, we got the executive of Premier, I think, he gave up his whole salary for the rest of the year. What is he talking about?
You and I are making less money, we've given up a percentage of our contract with FS1. We've given up a percentage of our contract with Fox Sports Radio. My wife's a medical doctor. She's been in the hospital about once every week and a half. And they gave up 50%.
Yes. Tell them, Chris. Salary. And your wife is on the front lines in the hospitals with people. And they gave up 50%.
And she ain't making $10 million a year either. And so, it's just... And here's the thing, and I feel... You know, I'm blessed. And we're blessed.
We're blessed.
And many of us. Now, we have listeners that probably fall in each of these two categories, perhaps, that I'm going to say. But for me and many, many people in this society, including Blake Snell, it's an inconvenience. And I would even say for a lot of these people that are breaking the rules, insisting on going to the beaches, insisting on going to all these restaurants and not social distancing and things they're doing. It's just an inconvenience for us. But there's a large part of the population where it's essentially life or death. It might not quite be that dire, but you know, you talk for what? 30 to 40 million people have filed for unemployment.
Chris, it's dire. You know, most people, if they miss two or three paychecks, their life is wrecked.
Yes.
That's the reality of America. Let's stop being disingenuous. Most people need their paycheck to survive. And if they don't get one or two or three, they're in trouble.
Yep. No question about it. And so Blake Snell, and he came back and he didn't totally backtrack, but he said something that was, you know, somewhat recognizing how stupid it was what he said. But that's just terrible.
He's just cleaning it up, Chris. Those are his real thoughts that he came out with. You know how that is.
No question. And I'll say this about the players. And Tony Clark's come out, as you know, Rob, the head of the Players Association. And the baseball has the best Players Association of the sports. And he has said, you know, we're not playing for this 50-50 revenue split because it amounts to a salary cap and we've never had that in baseball and we're not about to start. I get that. What I would say is it could be something like deferred payments. You know, so if I'm supposed to make, say, $5 million this year or say $10 million. And now with the 82-game season, that's cut to $5 million. And because no fans are there, I'm only going to make $2 million or whatever. The other $3 million can be deferred. It doesn't have to be the 50. There are other ways you can do it. Or if I'm the players, you know, obviously you make sure something's in that agreement, whatever CBA you're going to create for this season, where it's like, this is the only season. This is not a precedent. There will be no salary cap in the future.
Right. This is dire times,
the players get 60% or 55%. You know, like, you can work around it if that's their concern.
And if not, then don't have a season. Seriously. Right. And if I'm the owners and it's going to be this big of a deal, then nobody makes any money. And then you just go from there. And if that's what you want to do, because I get the whole thing, what they fought for. They're not going to just give it away, Chris. So I'm with you with the union. I understand it. But you can't expect to make the same money prorated when there are no fans in the stands, Chris.
They say that's 40%. Leagues have come out and said,
yes,
at least basketball and football, that's essentially 40% of the league's revenue.
You don't think it is with fans, baseball, with all those games and concessions and parking?
Yep.
Yes, yep. That's a lot of money that goes in. I know we all want to believe that television pays the entire freight. It's not true.
No.
Fans still matter.
And TV might even be lower because I mean, how many companies can pay the same advertising dollars? Not many.
Can't do it.
So you're absolutely right. If he had to go out, Rob, Blake Snell, who's making $10 million a year, if he had to go out and play for $1 million, if he doesn't want to, fine. But come on, let's not act like that's torture. You know what I'm saying?
To go out
and play baseball for $1 million.
Not when people don't have any money. I mean, right. And they're waiting on a government check, Chris, of $1,200 that they need.
Right.
I just think that, dude, it's mind-boggling how people can be so insensitive and not think of others who have it way less fortunate. And Blake Snell, I mean, really, Chris, I don't know if I can look at him the same way, just his thoughts. And I know people have their point of view and you can make a mistake in life or whatever, but those comments, if you look, people make mistakes, those comments were just so insensitive at this time. That's like rubbing somebody's hand in broken glass.
Right.
I'm not doing that. And people are out on the front lines. You just brought it up. Oh, no, hospitals and doctors, they're making money hand over fist now, right, Chris? So many people are sick. And you just say your wife has to take a 50% pay cut.
Yep, no question about it. And then his tone of voice, like he's talking down to people.
Right, yo, dude, I ain't going for that.